welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is John 8:46-59. The Gospel according to St. John chapter 8, verse 46-59. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did know, I did not, I would be a liar to you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. My theme for reflection is when truth stands in the temple. When truth stands in the temple. A friend once told me about a moment during a university debate. A professor asked a room full of students a simple question: "What is truth?" The room suddenly grew quiet. Some suggested truth was personal. Others said truth changes depending on perspective. Finally, one student raised his hand and said, "Truth is whatever helps you live well." The professor paused and replied gently, "But what if the truth is something we must face, not something we invent?" Questions about truth have always unsettled people. And in John 8:46-59, we encounter a moment where truth stands directly before human resistance. Jesus begins with a question that cuts to the heart of the matter. "Which of you convicts me of sin?" It is an invitation to honest examination. If there is falsehood in his life or teaching, let it be shown. Yet no one answers. The silence is telling. His life has been scrutinized, challenged, and observed, but no real accusation can stand. What follows is equally revealing. Instead of responding to the question, his opponents shift the conversation. They abandon evidence and resort to insult. "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" The discussion moves away from truth toward discrediting the one who speaks it. When truth cannot be disproved, it is often attacked. This pattern is familiar across history. When truth cannot be refuted, it is ignored. When it cannot be ignored, it is ridiculed. And when ridicule fails, the subject itself is changed. New accusations Distractions and suspicions are introduced in order to turn the attention of others away from the real issue. The goal is no longer understanding but influence, shaping perception rather than confronting reality. Jesus Christ identifies the deeper problem beneath this reaction. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The obstacle is not merely intellectual misunderstanding, but spiritual resistance. The people before him assume they know God because they belong to the lineage of Abraham. Yet Jesus exposes the gap between religious identity and genuine faith. To hear God's word requires a heart willing to receive it. Then Jesus offers an extraordinary promise. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. His listeners again misunderstand. They think only in terms of physical mortality. Abraham died. The prophets died. How could Jesus claim something greater? Their question becomes almost sarcastic. Who do you make yourself out to be? The answer comes with breathtaking clarity. Before Abraham was, I am. With these words, Jesus reaches back to the divine name revealed to Moses in Exodus 3:14. He is not merely claiming ancient origins. He is identifying himself with the eternal God. The one speaking in the temple is the same God who spoke from the burning bush, the one who exists beyond time yet has entered history. The reaction at this point is immediate. Stones are lifted in anger. Truth often provokes hostility before it produces faith. As Calbarth observed, God's word confronts us not as a comfortable idea, but as a living reality that judges and renews us. Truth exposes what we would rather conceal. Yet, even in rejection, God's purpose unfolds. The same Jesus who declares, I am, will later be lifted on the cross. The one condemned by human judgment becomes the Savior who conquers death. Scripture itself interprets this mystery. Later, Jesus will declare, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. John 11:25. The truth that provokes rejection becomes the truth that saves. Lent invites us into this same honesty. It calls us to face the truth about ourselves, that we are sinners in need of grace, and the truth about Christ, that he is not merely a teacher or prophet, but the eternal I am, the God who has come to redeem the world. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, when confronted with the uncomfortable truth about yourself, do you resist it or allow God to transform you through it? Number two, what does it mean for your daily life that Jesus is not simply a wise teacher, but the eternal I am? And now our practical exercise for the day. Take time to read slowly through John 8:46 to 59 and then recite the Apostles' Creed aloud. Reflect on each phrase and thank God for the truth revealed in Christ. Let your confession of faith shape how you speak truthfully and lovingly to others today. Lord Jesus Christ, eternal Son of God, the great I am, we thank you that you have revealed the truth that sets us free. In this Lenten season, give us the courage to face the truth about our sins and the humility to receive your grace. Guard our hearts from the lies that surround us and strengthen us to live as people of your truth. Lead us to trust in your saving death and victorious resurrection until the day we share fully in the life you promise. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forever.